And now it's time for this week's installment of the TOTN Movie Awards.
It was a time when school was my last priority.
Bueller. Bueller.
A time when adults were the enemy.
You're tearing me apart!
And my peers were almost as bad.
You think you're really pretty?
Oh, I don't know.
So if you're from Africa, why are you white?
It was the time of the TOTN Movie Awards.
Well, if you haven't guessed it, teen movies is our category today. All week we've received emails nominating your favorites, everything from Heather's to Harold and Maude. We'd still like to hear from you. What's your favorite teen movie? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email at totn@npr.org. Our cinematic guide, Murray Horwitz, joins us again to mediate today's debate over the best teen movie. We wouldn't want to get things too catty. He's director and COO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center here in the Washington area, and he's with us today in Studio 3A. Murray, nice to have you back.
It's always good to be back, Neil. Thanks.
So what's a teen movie?
Well, I think it depends on when you were a teen.
Yeah.
Because what one generation considers a teen movie is different from what another. I mean, in my case, I think of Birth of a Nation as a terrific teen movie that sort of encapsulates a lot of my childhood. But it obviously has in it the things that make that very magic, tough, wonderful, miserable age what it is. Mm-hmm. Conflict. Things that actually make for good movies. Conflict and uncertainty and a lot of choices, and also characters who, as one college professor of mine said, are at an age when they take themselves more seriously than they'll ever again take themselves in life.
Yet, aren't teen movies best appreciated by those who are not quite teenagers yet themselves and still aspiring toward it? Or maybe those nostalgic looking back to, you know, Judy and Mickey and, hey, let's put on a show.
That's right. It's funny. When you started that question, I was thinking of the adults looking at, gee, Margaret, is that what these young people are really like? And I think a lot of teen movies really are targeted to, in a kind of voyeuristic way, to older folks. But I didn't think about the teen wannabes. You know, gee, I want to be as miserable and substance abusing and confused as those people up on the screen. I think that's true.
The first teen movie I think I saw, this is going to date me, but I was not a teenager yet, Bernadine with Pat Boone.
Of course.
Love Letters in the Sand. Who could possibly forget? But, you know, I don't think any of those other debaucheries were in it, but I know he did tragically run away and join the Air Force.
He did, which was, you know, in the mid-1950s, you know, tantamount to debauchery.
I think the same is going to Paris in the 20s.
It's true.
I'm sure. What was your seminal teen movie?
There's no question about it. The Blob. And people say, The Blob?
That's a horror movie.
Or
a monster movie.
A monster movie, not a horror movie. And it's interesting because this is a cross-genre. That is to say, in fact, my filmmaker son said, teen movies aren't a genre. You know, and there are musicals that have been teen movies.
Grease.
You know, I mean, Grease is, right? Yeah. Horror movies like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer and Blair Witch Project that are teen movies. But also, I mean, there was that moment. We're talking about the formula movies in certain ways, but the formula changes from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, one that I think has been around, though, for quite a long time is that moment, never better expressed than when it was in The Blob, when the teens, who are thought by the adults to be, who are dissed by the adults, they're layabouts, they're good for nothings, and they bind together to save the town and to save the world.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, if you think about it, I guess Back to the Future is a teen movie.
And it's true. It's true. And teens are usually ahead to the past, but, you know, it's true.
Well, let's now turn to one of our listeners. Colleen Balkin joins us on the line from Madison, Connecticut, and it's nice to have you on the program. Colleen? Oh, we don't have Colleen up yet. Let's get a listener on the line, and this will be Chris. Chris calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Oh, thanks very much.
I wanted to comment that I grew up in the 90s, late 90s, when I was a teenager. And a lot of the teen movies that came out were on the big screen. They were just no good. They were boring. They were formulaic. They didn't speak to us at all. And for me and my group of friends, you know, grew up in the suburbs to find The Breakfast Club. It was just really phenomenal. The characters were great. It was humorous. It was touching. All-time best teen movie. Thank you so much.
We happen to have a clip from The Breakfast Club. Let's listen in.
You're not fooling anybody, Bender. The next screw that falls out is going to be you.
Eat my shorts.
What was that?
Eat my shorts.
You just bought yourself another Saturday, mister.
Oh, I'm crushed.
You just bought one more right there.
Well, I'm free the Saturday after that. Beyond that, I'm going to have to check my calendar.
Good!
Bender, a few screws loose. Where did they get the name for that robot in that animation movie? Anyway, I'm just speculating here. That was a pretty terrific movie.
Well, it was, and Chris has put his finger right on it. It's really not a coincidence that our first caller has fingered a John Hughes movie. But I might take issue with Chris in a couple of ways. The first is that he talks about movies not speaking to our generation. They were formulaic. Formulas can speak to a generation mm-hmm. and to certain issues, and sometimes very successfully. And the other thing about that is John Hughes really, with that and his other movies, 16 Candles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Pretty in Pink, I mean, they define they redefined the teen movie and reestablished arguably the new formula, because you know it had teen angst, it had these oddball outsiders, as mm-hmm. you point out, Neil, and you know he sympathized with the geeks and the misfits mostly. I mean, he even managed to make to humanize and sympathize with a jock, which is, you know, for a 90s teen film is no small accomplishment.
Well, we do have Colleen Balkin now on the line with us from Madison, Connecticut. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Hi.
And I know you have a nominee.
I do. My favorite is 16 Candles.
And why is that?
Well, it took me a while to come up with why it's my favorite, because I'm so familiar with this movie. I've seen it probably 30 or 40 times that it's, I had to take a step back and sort of think again, why did I like it in the first place? And I think that because it does have realistic characters in it, although there are some exaggerated characters and exaggerated situations, there are a lot of things you can relate to as a teenager. But ultimately, what I thought of was the ending of the movie, the last few minutes, that I can just remember my friends and I rewinding and replaying over and over and over again, and every single time we watched it, sort of swooning and sighing over, you know, the girl gets the hot jock at the end.
Well, let's listen to a clip from 16 Candles.
You like Jake? Jake's my boy! I just talked to Jake in the gym. He asked me about you.
Did not.
He did, too. He did. He asked me what you were like.
Oh, my God. Oh. If you're lying, I'll beat the crap out of you.
I'm not lying.
Oh, my God, what should I do?
Well, any flashbacks, Colleen?
Yes.
I do have to ask, how old were you when you saw it?
Probably about 15 or so.
Bullseye. Colleen, I want to ask you, if you've seen it 30 to 40 times, how many times do you think you saw it in the theater?
I probably never, as far as I can remember, I did not see it in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a big point. We have to remember that when old fogies like me saw, you know, Rebel Without a Cause and Rock Around the Clock and Blackboard Jungle, we only saw these films once or twice until later when we were no longer teenagers and we were watching them on television.
On the Late Late Show Part 2.
Right. and waxing nostalgic about 5 years ago. But the truth of the matter is that your generation and since the 80s, people have had home video. And so they've memorized these films. They've seen them dozens of times, and they've really become not only teen movies, they've become teen age nowadays. Mm-hmm. People live their lives through these movies.
Yeah, I mean, I used to entertain friends in college by just reciting dialogue from the movie because I knew it so well.
I can only do that from, Casablanca and a few hundred others. But anyway.
And I do the spoken dialogue from Birth of a Nation.
There you go. That's hard to do. He's been going to mime school for many years. Anyway, Colleen, thanks very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank
today.
You.
Colleen Balkin listens to Talk of the Nation on WSHU in Madison, Connecticut. We have another listener on the line, Jordana Fournier-Bellonio. Am I pronouncing that right?
Close enough.
All right.
Fournier-Bellonio.
Fournier. All right. We missed an N in there. She joins us from Arlington, Virginia, and it's nice to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what's your favorite teen movie?
Well, my favorite teen movie is the movie Mean Girls, which came out last year.
And why is that so special to you?
Well, I just feel that it's, you know, it's just such a satire of teenage life that it basically encompasses every single aspect of being a teenager, being in high school, or being a teenager in general.
Let's listen to a bit from Mean Girls.
There are two kinds of evil people. People who do evil stuff and people who see evil stuff being done and don't try to stop it.
Does that mean I'm morally obligated to burn that lady's outfit? Oh my God, that's Miss Norberry.
Oh, I love seeing teachers outside of school. It's like seeing a dog walk on his hind legs.
That's funny. That's funny, Jordana.
Have you, you've never seen the movie?
I've never seen the movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. It's very sharp and witty and funny. And it's, you know, it's just, it's basically talks about the movie in itself. It's almost like, you know, a screen sensation of the cesspool that is, you know, being a teenager, those rocky years of going into high school and trying to grow up and trying to figure out who you are. And, you know, I recently saw this movie, certainly like well after I've been out of high school, and mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's so easy to identify with so many of the characters in it.
I just want to thank Jordana for naming not only a comedy, because one of the things to think about with teen movies are the ones that are comedies, the ones that are real strong dramas, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so the ones that are in between, but also a satire. And this was written by the redoubtable Tina Fey, if I'm not incorrect.
Yes.
And she's terrific, and she manages to say some very, very serious things in a very hysterical movie. And we actually showed the movie at our theater at AFI, and the audience, mostly of younger women and teenage girls, felt just the way you did, Jordana. I mean, they were just, this was a bullseye movie. This one that went right to the heart of a lot of people.
But comedy, like Clueless, for example.
Right. And then there are those sort of in between. I mean, you know, with the John Hughes films, we talked about Breakfast Club, mm-hmm. and which is sort of in between, and maybe 16 Candles. You mentioned Donnie Darko. There are some incredibly strong, powerful dramas that are more contemporary movies. Gus Van Sant's Elephant, actually, I think won a major prize at the Cannes Film Festival a couple of years ago. And Kids, which is another movie, very, very strong drama. But then on the other hand, you have, you know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is a terrific teen movie. You have all these other kinds of... one of our programmers suggested, look, American Pie is a very good teen movie. And there's something to be said for that.
Jordana, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much again. We're talking about best teen movie ever, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Murray, here's an email we got from Denault. I'm pronouncing that correctly. I have to submit Rushmore as the best teen movie ever. The film's final scene, shot to the tune of The Faces' Ooh La La, is far and away the most cathartic teen movie moment I've ever experienced, and wraps up a beautiful film with warmth and grace. Rushmore doesn't aim for laughs and panders to no demographic. It's a simple portrayal of a simple teenager and the difficulties he faces trying to find his way. No gimmicks, no silliness. Also, this movie put Bill Murray on the map as a legit actor.
I was all with Denault all the way through that, and it's funny. I'm trying to. You asked me to be to moderate or mediate because I'm so well known for my moderation. This is a rare Wes Anderson film, and it's one I didn't particularly care for. But I understand why so many people consider it great. I think that Bill Murray was a very good actor. The fact that much of what he was doing was comedy does not make him a serious actor. But it's true, and Denault also puts his finger on something else, which is music. It's one of the opportunities that teen movies affords filmmakers are to use real contemporary music, whether it's, you know, Bill Haley and the Comets in 1956 or, you know, Nine Inch Nails is, what did I just see that had Nine Inch Nails in it? Anyway, they and that's already an old group. What am I talking about? But with the images that appeal to filmmakers, and visually teen movies tend to be great with fashion and cars and all that stuff, but also with music. They're terrific, and they do things that other movies don't do.
Here's an email from Roger Spelmer in Chennai, India. Could be Indiana there. No, it could be India, too. You know. American Graffiti. Why? Because it's about nothing. Driving around on Saturday night in the United States, but it's about so much more because it captures that era of innocence before Saturday nights became hardcore. Second choice, Summer of 42, the ultimate coming-of-age movie, thoughtful, touching, and so elegantly filmed and told. Well, of those two, well, we have a clip from American Graffiti.
Good, thanks.
Quick, hang a right.
What?
Why? Steven, cut over to G Street. I just saw a vision. I saw a goddess. Come on, you gotta catch up to her.
You see anything?
Come on, Kurt, we can't be spending half the night chasing girls down for you.
Lori.
I'm telling you, this was the most perfect, dazzling creature I've ever seen.
She's
gone. Get it?
She spoke to me. She spoke to me right through the window. I think she said, I love you.
A movie much beloved by radio people as well for its portrayal of the great Wolfman joke.
The Wolfman likes it.
I'm so grateful to Roger for bringing this one up because that's one that doesn't appear on a lot of lists, and interesting because it was not a contemporaneous teen movie. It's a teen movie made in the early 70s about the late 50s, the early 60s, I think, and launched a number of careers. Harrison Ford, Richard Dreyfuss, and how can it be about nothing with Suzanne Somers in The T-Bird?
Mm-hmm. And there is one more teen movie we want to get to. This from, well, Rebel Without a Cause.
You live here, don't you?
Who lives?
Hey, where's Dawson High?
At university in 10th.
Thanks.
You wanna carry my books?
I got my car. You want to go with me?
I go with the kids.
Yeah, I bet.
One of only three movies made by the great James Dean, and immortal.
Immortal, and as the Pulitzer Prize-winning film critic for the Washington Post, Stephen Hunter, says, this defined the teenager, and maybe forever.
And appropriate, our topic next week, the movie with the best car chase ever.
I can't wait.
French Connection, Bullet. What is it going to be? Murray Horowitz is director and COO of American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center. He was nice enough to join us here in Studio 3 Bay. He'll be back next week.
The Keystone Cops.
With the Keystone Cops. It's got to be. What is it? Send your nominees. TOTN at NPR.org. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.